Please be seated. It is truly a joy and privilege this morning to welcome the Reverend Greg Foraker to our pulpit, virtual. Greg has been with us for this weekend. He's led a retreat with the vestry and those of us who are involved in education within the parish. And we've had a delightful time with him, and I'm just very anxious to hear what he has to say this morning, because for one person to have as much wisdom as he has, to still have more left over for us this morning, I think is truly remarkable, because it has been a really wonderful time with him. So, Greg, welcome from the Bishop's Office, the Director of Faith Formation, Missioner for Faith Formation.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. I bring greetings from the bishop, from Bishop O'Neill, and from everyone in our office. They were so excited to hear that I was coming here to Nativity this weekend, and I'm a Colorado native, and so I had this great gift on the journey on Friday to come see you. Growing up in Colorado, I always heard that we lived in God's country, and of course, getting to come from Denver to Grand Junction, we get a wonderful overview of that, coming across so many different parts of our beautiful state, and also knowing so many people along the way through the church. It's a great gift to come and be with you here. I'm the Missioner for Faith Formation, as Jan said, and when I say that, often I get about the same kind of a look that you're giving me, which is, what on earth is that? What can that mean? Well, it means I work with a great group of people in our office on this task of cultivating, supporting, resourcing, and helping clergy, lay people, congregations across the regions of our diocese in the realm of faith formation, helping build up people in faith, helping explore beliefs, helping imagine how to draw people into the church in new and different ways. We work in terms of classes and pilgrimages, retreats. We have the wonderful gift of our retreat house at Cathedral Ridge, which is part of our team. And all of it is built to say, how can we tap into something of God's wisdom for our lives and for our world? So we want to help you do that. But I'm going to begin by inviting your help directly and inviting you to help me get a hold of what is this thing that is our task of seeking wisdom. How would you define wisdom? This is not a rhetorical question. How would you define wisdom? Doing the right thing. Okay, good. Openness to new ideas. An ability to discern. Wow.
Taking from our experience and translating it, whether it's positive or negative, to someone else.
So thinking, working from our experience, whether it's positive or negative, and offering that to someone else. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts about wisdom? What is wisdom? I notice our clergy got very quiet. Prayerfully holding the space, I see. Seeking knowledge and continue learning. I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to ask a second question. How might wisdom be distinguished from knowledge? Are they the same? Experience. What does experience do? So experience teaches us what is right or wrong for us, kind of out of our lived experience. How would you distinguish knowledge and wisdom? Mm-hmm. How to integrate what we learn, could I say, in how we live, how we live into it? This is one of the real tasks of formation, is to imagine how we move into a place of gaining knowledge, to begin with, perhaps, but then move further and say, how do we integrate that in light of our life experience, our relationships, our course, our relationship with God, to translate it to how we might live? And this task is not easy, have you noticed? It's complicated. Our lives are complicated and the world is complicated. And you know, it's always been that way, it seems. The early disciples struggled with these same questions that we struggle with today. And we get a powerful glimpse of that today in the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus is walking with the disciples. And it's an interesting place. This is the third round of a teaching we've been hearing, the second of three rounds of teaching that we hear from Jesus, trying to communicate the message to his disciples of what this is all about and what is about to unfold in his passion, death, and resurrection. Isn't it funny how we are? Maybe the disciples are this way too. When we hear news we don't want to hear, how our eyes and ears kind of close, and we don't want to go there. It's like, let's talk about something else. Let's lighten it up. And sure enough, the disciples walking with Jesus couldn't hear what he was saying the second time. So they moved on and got to Capernaum, and Jesus sat them down. And I always say, this sounds to me like one of those early come-to-Jesus meetings. He sat them down and said, listen, I was teaching on the way, and what were you talking about? It seemed like you were arguing about something else. What was it? And of course, they were busted. And when they had to admit, they were admitting that they were wrestling with this question of who is the greatest among them. And in a nutshell, to me, that says they were caught up in their stuff and their place and how they understood it and how they were trying to figure it out. And maybe they were still caught in that knowledge place and not able to go to this place of God's wisdom that was being revealed in Jesus. And so he gave a really practical answer. That the one who would be last, the one that would be first will be last and servant of all. I'm sure they thought, that cannot work, right? How's that working in our world today? Are we seeing people who want to be last and servant of all? It's not our natural tendency, is it? We want to go to be first and best, all of that up front. Well, those early disciples struggled as we do with this question. How would they be with Jesus? And Jesus gave them a practical visual and said, let's welcome a child. Let's welcome a child and have them take a seat right here in the center. And we're going to care for this person, and we're going to welcome them and include them right in the middle of it all. I'm moved by this passage these days, particularly in the life of the church, when we're seeing the ways children have been harmed and hurt, even in the life of the church. Reminds us that at our core, it's about welcoming, creating safety, and modeling that sense of healthy and warm and loving inclusion and care for the most vulnerable among us, especially children. It could even translate further than that to say, not just the child, but the vulnerable one. Who's the vulnerable, weak, or person in need around us that might have slipped to the edge of our experience and the edge of our community? Or perhaps in the wider community here in Grand Junction that's hurting and in need. Perhaps they're the vulnerable one these days that we're being called to welcome into the center, to make a place in our hearts, our lives, in the community here at Nativity, to live into God's wisdom of being together, of showing love, and demonstrating that sense of profound care and service. So this day we pray that we might be able to model what Jesus not only teaches, but how he lives in his example of welcome, of embrace, of care and nurture for all who are in need. Perhaps if we can live into that, we can be agents of transformation here at Nativity and in our wider community here in Grand Junction. Seems to me the world is yearning for reconciliation, for care and nurture, and for renewed hope. So rather than struggling to figure it all out, probably living into God's wisdom in this way might be the gift we receive this morning. For this we pray. Amen.